Too far back from everyone here. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we are a child of God. And Lord, we thank you for your love for us and that you protect us, you give us direction, and that, Lord, you're speaking to us daily and teaching us daily. And so we just praise you for that. So I pray you just open our minds to see the truth of what you share through your word this morning. I pray you anoint me. I speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive from the Spirit. So I just pray truly that you would move in a powerful way. We give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to look this morning. We're going to start off here in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah. Notice we're spending a lot of time in Isaiah here. Isaiah 30. I shared with you a few weeks ago, the direction that the message has gone. I decided to say, I just want to share stuff, how the Lord has spoke to me over the years, which has been a lot of years. And so I'm just kind of just, hitting spots what the Lord has spoken to me and continues to speak to me. And hopefully it's an encouragement to you. But we'll look at this morning. We're going to look at Isaiah 30, chapter 30, verse 15. It says this: "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it." Now, like last week, we looked at this section of scriptures, these section of scriptures we're looking at. We looked at Isaiah 26 last week. The big context, first of all, these messages have really powerful meaning for us in our day-to-day life, and we can just see them there. But if we step back and look at the context in which they were spoken, you think they even have a more wider meaning to us when we see what was going on here. And so I will give you a quick little, context here, is that when God's speaking to the people of Israel right now, you have the Assyrians, okay, at this time the Assyrian Empire was the world power. They're coming down, and they're just whipping everybody, all right? And so they're coming down, and they're coming upon Jerusalem. They're coming upon Jerusalem, and they are going to conquer Jerusalem and all of Israel. So they're coming down. And again, and the reason I want to bring that up, because this is when God is speaking to Hezekiah and speaking to, by the way, Ray doesn't say, "I think I say this right." Hezekiah, he thought I created a new person in the Bible. But anyway, so Ray says it different. But anyway, Hezekiah. So Hezekiah is the king. And so they're coming down here, and he's looking at this situation. We're in trouble. I mean, this is not looking good. This huge, massive world power is coming. And they had, as you may know, that Israel had a revolution, so they were split in two, so they weren't getting along, and so their capital was Samaria. Well, Assyria had already come down, totally conquered Samaria. Just wiped. Now, we need to remember, when these countries conquered somebody, it wasn't like, "Oh, I give up," and everybody, shake hands and go on. And a war is never like that. I mean, they devastated these people. They laid the cities flat. They killed most of the people. And what they didn't kill, they exiled. So, which is kind of interesting. So you don't have anybody to worry about, because they would exile them to other countries, and then they would bring people from other countries to there. And which is, kind of smart, because then you don't have any cultural things to build up there. And so that's what they would do. And just as a note, if anybody wants to study up on the Assyrians, of all the world powers in history going back, people will generally say that the Assyrians were the most cruel. Now, we think of some bad people, and they said, "Well, the Assyrians were the most cruel." So it's telling you who the Assyrians were. They were very cruel, and they're very, very powerful. And so they would come down to these countries. And what is another thing that helps you understand is we look at Hezekiah, and you read in chapters 37, 38, and you see where these leaders would come to Jerusalem, and they'd stand up there, and they'd get everybody, and they'd read them. Say, "This is what we're going to do to you." I mean, they tell them, they think, "We're going to skin you and nail you to the wall," and that. I mean, it was like they tell you up front what they were going to do. But then they would say, "If you give up, we won't do that." And what they did is fascinating, because they're cruel people. They were good to their word. They were good to their word. So people would go, okay, I think we'll give up. And they give up, and then they just go over and conquer them. You know, they'd steal, ship them out, and all that other stuff. But they didn't do all those horrible things. So that they went to the next city, and then say the same thing. Said, well, they were true to their word. They didn't kill all these people. You know, so it was an incentive. I mean, it was smart. It was an incentive to give up. But if they didn't give up, then they did all these terrible things. And they come up and said, well, we have an example. You can do that or you can do that. Now tell us. And so this is when you read in Kings and Chronicles, where there you have this conversation speaking. You know, that's real. We have it recorded. They're telling the Assyrians are telling Jerusalem, give up. And if you give up, we won't do all these things. In fact, they tell you'll have your own fig tree. Now, I don't know what that meant, but they're going to get their own fig tree. You know, so it tell them, you know, and it says, but if you don't, you're not going to have one person left. We're going to destroy everything you did. And again, they were good to their word, so they weren't bluffing. Now, the point of this is, we look at Hezekiah in Jerusalem, and when God speaks, they're going, God, what do we do? And so God gives them a verse like this. It's not a verse. God speaks to them like that. And you look at the context, like Hezekiah, they weren't making up their fear. They weren't making it up. It was real. These people were coming, and they knew that they were coming and the devastation they would do. And so they had asked God, God, what do you want us to do? And like last week, you know, in perfect peace is he whose mind is stayed on you, you know. But my mind stayed on you, but there is 185,000 Assyrians at the gate. And God says, that's okay. They have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. See, that's what he tells them, you know. So you see the people, Hezekiah, and it's like they're evaluating the situation around them. And then God is telling them that it doesn't make any sense from human standards. You see what I mean? Now, continue to perspective what Jerusalem was, kings were doing. Here come these Assyrians. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Now, again, they've wiped out the northern tribes. They're gone. Now they're coming to Jerusalem. And then they surround Jerusalem. They actually conquer towns in Judah like that. And so they're here. God, what do we do? Oh, perfect peace is he whose mind is stayed on you. Yeah, but look at the situation. God, you don't quite understand what's going on. See, that's the position they were in. And it wasn't made up. See, it wasn't made up. So they're seeing this. Now, so in that thing, well, you have another world power that we need to be aware of at the same time. And it's Egypt. And Egypt was a huge world power. And then they kind of declined, but they're still a major power. So you have Assyria and you have Egypt. All right? So there, and you have Jerusalem, Israel right in the middle. And so Egypt knows how bad Assyrians are. You know, but, you know, they're a long ways off. So they're coming down. And so you have this, the Assyrians are coming. Here's Jerusalem. There's Egypt over here. So they're thinking, well, here's the guy. What we'll do, we're going to go ask Egypt for help. Now, what did God tell them last week? You will be in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. My mind is stayed on you, but I'm going to ask for help from Egypt, too, because it didn't look good. You see what I'm saying? So Egypt is a massive world power there, but Assyria is conquering everything. And to give it perspective, so we have perspective what's going on, it's like the size of Assyria is like Red China. They're coming with their army. And the size of Egypt is like, well, maybe Russia and their army. But China's the biggest. And in the middle is a country. And I can't even think. It would be like what country be in the middle? It'd be like Virginia being in the middle. See, not the United States. It's like maybe Jamaica. Okay, that's the country. So you've got Red China. And it's like Russia over there. Red China's coming. Jamaica goes or Virginia goes. I want the Russians to help me, you know, because it's like, this is not looking good. That's the situation. That's a perspective, okay? Now, the thing about the Assyrians, they hate the Jews and Judah. Now, the people in Egypt they want to ask for help from, You know? They also hate the Jews. I mean, nobody likes them, but they think, well, the Egyptians are afraid too. Maybe they'll help us and just to save their own hide, and we can protect us from the Assyrians. So you get the situation? That's where, and they're going, this is not looking good. I mean, you got Russia, you got China, and I'm Jamaica. You know, I just want to pick sides. Somebody help me. What does God tell them? Oh, him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Okay. And I have no perfect peace. Okay, y'all with me? That's where they are. That's where they were last week. That's where they are this week. And God is speaking to them on how to trust him. Well, we're going to see how he spoke to them in that situation to apply it to our own life. How many of us had said in our own life, God, this is too big for you. God, you don't understand. I bet whatever's going on in your life wasn't as big as being attacked by Assyria and surrounded with 185,000 soldiers, and you can't defend yourself. I doubt if your problem was bigger than that. And you have these guys coming out and speaking to you, this is what we're going to do to you. They can do it, and they will do it. And their one out is this, give up, and we won't do it to you. That's what, and so Hezekiah, and then they write a letter to Hezekiah. I mean, great history. So these guys, so they write a letter to Hezekiah, and they write in the letter, this is what we're going to do to you. Hezekiah reads the letter. He takes it and puts it before the Lord. Lord, look at this letter. This is what they say they're going to, look at the letter. And he lays it there, and he goes, God, look at the letter. Now remember, you got China, Russia, and I'm in Jamaica. God, look at the letter. It's not going to work it out. So that's the history. But in this case, it's the Assyrians, the world power. And by the way, no one's whipped them. They've conquered that whole area. They conquered the whole area. But they're, and you have Egypt on the other side, which is a declining world power. But at least they had enough army to put a fight up. All right? So here we are. So here's the message God gives to Judah in this situation. This is what the sovereign Lord, this is what the sovereign, what does that mean? Sovereign. This is what, I am sovereign over everything. This is what the sovereign Lord is telling you. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, it's just me, Israel, just little bitty and this huge power. But I am the God of Israel. See, he's telling them, you don't have anything to worry about. Or he's trying to convince them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Now, the ESV, this is, I use the NIV here. But the best word, repentance kind of isn't clear what that is. Because he's talking to them about being conquered by this army. Okay, so he's not talking about salvation. Oh, repent and come to the Lord and you'll be saved. That's not right. And the more correct word would be to return or turn. Because they're asking for help and all this stuff. He goes, no, don't that. In your turning to him away from all your plans, see, in your turning to me from all your plans is your rest and rescue. Because salvation is not salvation coming to know the Lord. That's not what he's talking about. And a better word there in some use is rescue. So they're going, God, this is bad, the Assyrians. Oh, gosh, look at here. Maybe the Egyptians can help us. He goes, no. You turn to me, and your rest is your rescue. There's 185,000 Assyrians here. They conquered the north. And God goes, your rest is your rescue. Now, doesn't that sound like a bunch of nonsense? Does that not sound like nonsense? Now again, this guy, Hezekiah's not making this up. He's looking out his window. There's 185,000 Assyrians there. They've whipped everybody up to us. And they're going to go on to Egypt and whip them. I mean, we're just Jamaica, you know. And God, no. Your rest is your rescue. That's what God told them. Now, would anybody, if you were there with Hezekiah and they're saying this, would any of you go, like, God, could you kind of explain this? How about some more detail? I am the sovereign Lord. I'm the Holy One of Israel. Your rest is your rescue. If you say so. If you say so. You know, it doesn't make sense, right? So he goes on and says this. Your rest is your rescue. In quietness and trust is your strength. 185,000 Assyrians there, destroying everything. He said, just go have a cup of coffee and relax. Right? I mean, how? I mean, this is not, can you imagine these people? It's not making any sense. It's not making any sense. And that's the reason I'll bring the context, because this is the context. This is the context. Because there are issues when God tells us something. Well, God, you don't understand the problem. I don't think this will work. God, I don't know if you can do this. Same thing. Same thing. See? And so here we have this incredible comment. So turn to me, not your own plans. Your rest is your rescue. How do we get rescued? Our rest rescues us. That does not make any sense. It doesn't. Then he goes on and says, while you're resting, having a cup of coffee and being rescued by resting in quietness and trust. Wait a minute. Trust what? Trust what? It's kind of inferred. Trust what? Trust what God just told us. We're not just resting, you know. I got fired. I don't care. I'm just resting. It's like, no, you better get up and look for a job. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. God has told them what to do. God has told them what's going to happen. And so they know, but nothing looks right. Nothing looks workable. But it says, your trust in what God said. See, he's told us something. It's not we're just making stuff up, pretending, oh, I'll just trust God. Where do you get that? Oh, you just trust him. Trust him for what? You better want to know what he says. You see what I'm saying? People kind of flip that around. You need to hear something. So he's told them, we know in this whole section, he's told them so. So he says, you trust in God. So here we are. Go on this. Now you turn back to God and what he told you. You just rest, and that's your rescue. And in quietness and trust is what? Read it. Is what? How do we be strong? How do we be strong? How do we be strong? Rest in God, quietness before God. We trust before God. And that's our strength. Because God says, I'm going to take care of the problem. What is our responsibility when God says he's going to take care of the problem? What's our responsibility? Rest in quietness and trust. And that's our strength. Because God is working on our behalf. Amen? I mean, this is, so you put yourself in, there's 185,000 Syrians out there. Yeah, go have a cup of coffee, relax. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah. What if you were the guy that got the message? What are we going to do? Hey, I tell you what we do. Let's just rest in quietness, trust God, and have a cup of coffee. Well, now we know you're nuts also. You know, I mean, this is beyond the pale. This is beyond the pale. But what it is, what it really is, it's the Christian life. This is the Christian life. What we do normally is not the Christian life. I have an ulcer. That's because you're not doing this. That's why you got an ulcer, you know. Because you're not doing this. If you're doing this, you don't even worry. I mean, you wouldn't even change your schedule. Yeah, you got a soccer game. Okay, that's fine. Don't worry about it. God's got the 185,000 Assyrians. We'll go watch your soccer game. Don't worry about it. You see what I'm saying? It is bizarre what the Lord is saying here. So he tells them this. So he's telling them this. And it's fascinating when he's speaking to us, and he's speaking to us today. So we're trusting, we are in quietness, we are in rest and quietness because we're entrusting what God is going to do because he's already shown us. He's already shown us. So that's the key here. And you know what happens? I mean, I read this. It's so convicting to me. It's just like I want to cry. Our rest and our quietness are visible proof that we trust God. Our rest and quietness is visible proof that we trust God. And I'm thinking, I am a lousy witness to everybody I talk to. You know, I mean, it's like, gosh, my quietness and rest. Again, the only person I ever knew, and again, one of all the people that actually lived this out, where they were bizarre. It was bizarre. They were bizarre people. They did walk with the Lord 100%. And it's like they didn't fit in the world, you know. And I've told you, this is Pastor Miss Milliken, you know, in the 30 years, missionaries in the Congos in the 20s and 30s and 40s. You know, and they couldn't, you know, I couldn't get them down, no matter how hard I tried. I shared every problem I could think of with them. Oh, they'd go and just like clap. Oh, what an opportunity! No, this is misery. There's no opportunity here. This is flat. Oh, can you see when God works? Oh, glory. Oh, can you see God? Yeah, I can see God. Oh, God. And I'm going, who are these people talking to? What? You don't understand. There's 185,000 Assyrians around here, and you're sipping tea together. Don't you understand my problem? See? Oh, you wouldn't believe this happened, this happened, this happened. They're like, oh, they do that too. I mean, they would do, and it's like, and they'd go, oh, isn't Satan busy? Isn't he busy? Oh, yes, yes, he's really busy. Did you know that Satan trembles when the weakest Christian goes to their knees? That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. I mean, it was like, it was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen. We had, I just shared that, because you know, you read this and say, well, it has to have some practical application. And I praise God that we would see that. Linda and I were separated. And that was part of my problem, telling me how crazy she was. And that was never, it always came back on me somehow. But anyway, I had our daughter, Nicole, and she is 2 years old, and she stuck her thumb. And so I talked to Pastor Milliken, and he's always a great miracle, a great miracle. Gosh, you don't understand what's going on. Oh, yes, it's going to be wonderful. You know, so I'm holding the cone. She's sucking her thumb. He pulls it out. He says, you know, your mommy and daddy are going to get together. She goes, uh-uh. See, she knew. Me and her, I had convinced her. I had mentored her to a point that she knew good and well we weren't going to get together. Yeah. And he said, oh, yes. And she goes, uh-uh. And he goes to her. She's two. He says, you believe. You believe. Do you believe? She's two. Yes, I believe. Then we get, I believe you. It's like that. And I thought, what is this? What is this crazy old man telling her? They were the most interesting people I've ever met. It did work out. Yeah, high five. And it was like, I mean, in spite of me, it worked out. But. And I remember one time as a result, you know, I've shared things like that. And it's funny, when I share what he shared with other people, it didn't take on it like when he shared it. You know, I mean, he shared with power. It was just like, I'm blowing hot air. I don't know. I mean, I would help people and stuff. But, you know, I worked with a lot of marriages and stuff, and they didn't work out. They didn't work out. And I thought, well, but he would tell me on. And so one day, she had passed on, went with the Lord, and he was way up in ages. And so I went and picked him up at the airport, and I took him to their home. He's in Reston. It's snowing, snow all over the place. And so I asked him, I says, you know, Pastor Milliken, work with these lot of marriages and stuff, and they don't seem to work out. Oh, yeah, isn't it a shame? Oh, my God, so sad. Oh, it's a shame. Yeah, I know, okay. And I says, but I have something to ask you. And I says, but when I talked to you about Linda and I, how did you know that would work out? And he, little guy, but he looked over and he goes, oh, it burned deep within me. I'm like, holy Jesus. I mean, it's like, where are they from? But that's the way that says. This is what God did. And that's how Pastor Milken walked that life. And he could, where I'm struggling with 185,000 Assyrians, he walked in the Spirit with God and knew they were gone. Knew they were gone. See, that's the difference between he and I. He could see in the Spirit, and that was his connection. And that was everything. Everything. They were there. So anyway, I could just go on and on. So this is what you have. And so what I say to him is rest and quietness. Why? Because he knew God had this, and he trusted in God, and he just, okay, God's got this. God's got this. And it was in his action. You know, it just permeated his whole soul. Now, isn't that exciting? You see? Look at the last sentence in this verse. Look at the last sentence. This is the issue. The issue is not the Assyrians. The issue is not the 185,000 around you. The issue is not the nasty letter you got. The issue is not everybody thinking you're crazy. Here's this. There's the issue. That's the issue. Right there is the issue, the problem in our Christian life. You would have none of it. You would have none of it. I can fix it. I will make an alliance with Egypt. I will go to Egypt. I need help. I'll fix it. I will do it. I can make this work. God goes, no. No, it's bigger than you. And it's not having any of it. I'm going to make this work. Amen. Isn't God kind of sovereign, wise, interesting? Is he surprised when we don't do what he says? And I knew. I tell you, this is what you should do. But you'd have none of it. You'd have none of it. So, what we have here, this means that in our difficult situations, we let our plans trump God's plans. Now, we don't say that out loud. We're just helping God out because he's missed this and he doesn't quite have it all together. See? I mean, we kind of holy rationalization. You know, God needs me to make this work out. And of course, like in Hezekiah's thing, they couldn't make that work out. I mean, they knew they were wrong. But they had a plan. They're going to try another plan. So what happens if we work with our plan and not God's plan, that means we do not have any real rest or quietness. Now, I'm not even going to ask for a hand raise. Who is just totally at rest and totally in quietness, trusting God? See? The reason we don't have rest and quietness is because we don't trust him. See? Because he doesn't quite know all our situation. He doesn't quite, can't make all this work. And therefore, we got to help and we got to do something. And we're going to fret. See? I mean, that's the key right there that God's not in it. We're fretting. Fretting. Fascinating. Also, neither also do we experience trust and spiritual power. Why is there no spiritual power? Because there's no peace and rest, which is evidence that you're walking with the Lord. And then there the spiritual power comes through. It says the spiritual power comes through the rest and the quietness, and the trust is our strength. The trust is God's going to do it. He's going to take care of the